We are in our fourth week of Transformed. We're looking at God's plan to transform us in seven key areas of our lives. And our theme verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'll just read it for you, although it will be on the screen. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." But the key part of this verse is, don't let yourself be conformed to this world, but allow God to transform you by renewing or changing our minds. And that's what this whole series is all about. I have been receiving a lot of comments, a lot of emails, and a lot of notes saying how much you are appreciating this series. And to the extent that you are participating, I'm glad you are. Most of you have workbooks that you are going through. Many of you are in small groups that meet every week. There are daily readings, all sorts of stuff going on. Sharon Knapp was talking to me the other day, and she gave this big encouraging word about what it means to her. And I'm going to ask Sharon to come up right now. And Cher, yes, right here. And share what you told me about what you feel this series is doing for you. So there you go. I didn't tell you were going to come right up here, but there you go. This is Sharon Knapp.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I did tell Pastor that I'm just truly enjoying this on several levels. First of all, I like the fact that Pastor has that sermon on Sunday that precedes the study that we'll be doing. I like the daily devotional because it keeps you in sync with each thing that you're studying and talking about. And I shared with the girls that when it came to spiritual health, self-discipline, I thought that was something I was responsible for. I always kept thinking, Lord, I really want to do this now. I got to really work hard at this. I got to do this. And it says, no, self-discipline is from the Lord. That was one thing I learned. And then when I was reading this week also, if you need wisdom, you ask God. So, I mean, I think I was good about asking. But then on the other hand, it said, if heaven's not answering, maybe you have selective obedience. And I do really think I'm guilty of that too. I think I just bring it to the Lord and I share that. And then I think, okay, that'll be it. I'll be done. And I also enjoy our small group so much. I'm in a group with such wonderful ladies. The fact that we can sit there each week, go over the lesson, discuss everything that we have studied that week. And there are many times I have to go to them and say, you know what? I don't get this. I don't understand this too well. And someone would, be there to explain it to me. So I just wanted to tell Pastor, of all the things we've done, this is my very favorite.
Thank you, Sharon. All right. So this is our fourth week. The first week, we looked at spiritual health. And we looked at the prodigal son, what we need to do to get closer to God. The second week, we looked at physical health. We looked at Psalm 23 and the fact that the Lord gives us strength even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We learned what we can do to reduce stress in our lives and just be the best we can be physically. Last week, we looked at mental health. And by that, we mean our thought life. Have a healthy thought life. Managing our minds. Our mind is a battlefield. Do you remember the three enemies? Three enemies are ourself or our selfish nature, our old nature, Satan or the devil, our enemy, and then, of course, the world's system. So we looked at that last week. And many thanks to Kelsey Johnson, who shared with us about taking every thought captive and what that means and how we can do that. And Kelsey did a tremendous job explaining that last week. So thank you, Kelsey. This week, we are looking at key area number 4, our emotional health. If you have your workbook with you, you can take notes on page 92 and 93. And remember, there are readings for every day this week. Even if you're not in a small group, there are readings for every day this week. And you can, starting on page, in that chapter, starting on page 92, you'll see all the readings. Today, not only do we have our verse, Romans 12:2, we have our Bible text. It's just a very short scripture that I'd like to read for us. It's Mark chapter 12, 29 and 30, where Jesus says this, "The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." So we'll just use that portion today. The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Listen to the emotion of these words. You know what soul music is? We talk about soul music. Soul music gets down to your feelings and how you feel, the emotions of your heart. It doesn't say, well, sort of love God or try to be respectful and try to be very obedient. No, it says love God passionately with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. God loves you. You love God. What is this saying? God wants, and you have maybe never heard of this before, God wants an emotional relationship with you. Now, all of us would agree that we want to learn the truth about God through His Word, and He wants an intellectual relationship with us. But have you ever thought that God wants to have an emotional relationship with you? With feelings and passion and heart and soul. God loves you. The word love is an emotion. And we love God. So today I want to talk about understanding and controlling our emotions. And especially we're going to talk about negative feelings, negative emotions that we may have that are destructive. Just as the other areas of our lives need to be healthy, we need to have our emotional life healthy as well. Now, I want to establish a few premises. The first premise is that we want to establish sort of as we begin is that God has emotions. God has emotions because God is a person. God has personhood. He is a personal God. God is not a mist or a force. God is a person, not like us, but He's still a person. Therefore, He has a mind. He has will. And He has emotion. God has feelings. And God has passions. Let me give you some examples in case you're wondering how we get that from the Bible. God exhibits and shows joy. In Zephaniah, we looked at this over the summer, Zephaniah chapter 3. It says, God will rejoice over you with singing. This morning, everyone's gone from my house. My wife's over visiting Sam and Leslie and looking at holding our new grandchild. And the young man that's living with us, haven't seen him for a couple of days. So I was there this morning all by myself, and I was walking through the house, and I was so happy, and I was singing. I was whistling, and I was humming. And I wasn't happy because no one was there. I was happy because I had an extra hour. And I got up nice and early. Got up at, like, for me, 6:30 is early. So I got up early. I had coffee, and I was just singing. Why was I singing? Because I was joyful. And I was happy. The Bible says in Zephaniah that God rejoices over you with singing. That's emotion. That's joy. God also exhibits grief. Genesis 6 verse 6. The Lord was sorry that He had made human beings and His heart grieved. Compassion is shown in Psalm 135. The Lord will give justice to His people and He will have compassion on His servants. This is all about God now. He shows anger in Romans chapter 1. God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And of course, God is love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So God has emotion. There's many others that I could list. The Bible shows God has emotion. But of course, God never sins. And God never gets emotional in the sense of the way we do when it's negative, like mood swings or acting irrationally. Or it doesn't, his emotions don't cloud his judgment as they do us sometimes. So God has emotions. Let's establish that. Another premise I want to establish is your ability, my ability to feel, to have emotions, is a gift from God. Okay? Sometimes sometimes husbands and wives, sometimes a husband is, I don't want to generalize, but sometimes, in many cases, a husband is a little less emotional, and the wife is a little more emotional, and that's the way it is in our family, anyway, I'll just say for us. And so it's easy for a non-emotional guy to say, well, that's bad that you have that. You should be more like me, more logical, more rational. But the truth is, God has given men and women emotions as a gift. It is part of our makeup. God made us that way. It's not something to be, it's not negative. It's not something to be avoided or to be suppressed. The fact that we have emotions. Okay? We are, in fact, made in God's image. Genesis 1, verse 26. We're made in His image and His likeness. Our ability to love, our ability to experience joy, our ability to be passionate, our ability to be loyal, and even our ability to be angry comes from God. It is okay, premise number two here, to have emotions. The book of Psalms, 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms, help us to understand our emotions. If you've read the Psalms, you will discover that Psalms are much more than Psalms of praise and worship and joy. Have you ever read the Psalms and wondered, wait, I thought this was all about praise? Well, yeah, some of the ones in the end are about praise, and there's a lot of great stuff in the middle about praise, but Psalms is about all emotions. There are psalms of complaint. There are psalms of even anger. There are psalms of lament. There are psalms of joy. There are psalms of arguing with God. All the emotions that we feel can be found in the Psalms. And you can learn a lot by reading the Psalms. So your emotions are legitimate. All right? God gave them to us. Now, our emotions are not exactly the same as God because our sinful nature has corrupted our emotions, but not God's. And so that's why we need to have this lesson today to learn to have emotions that are healthy. For example, God's anger, when He has anger, is rooted in justice and righteousness and is perfectly righteous. Human anger can be subjective and can be volatile. Our anger can be out of control and can be sinful. I'm just going to be upfront and transparent with you. There are times I was studying for this, and I was looking back, and God brought back a movie of my life when I was younger. And the way I dealt with our children, you know, growing up and stuff. And I did and reacted to things out of anger sometimes. Have you ever done that? Been angry at someone and just, what does Terry call it? Lashed out. Lashed out in anger, you know, by words or by actions. And that's when you're sort of out of control. And that's when your anger can be sinful. But anger per se is not sinful. Okay? And the third premise is, like everything, there are extremes when it comes to emotions. There's emotionalism where all that matters is how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter logic. It doesn't matter rationalism. It doesn't matter even what may be right or wrong. All that matters is how I feel. Everything I do then is based on my emotions and how I feel that day. My emotions control and dominate my life. Or Christians, you'll see them as seeking only an emotional experience, and that's all that matters. If I don't experience emotion, if my heart isn't like jumping, then it's not God. God needs to touch my emotions. I feel that this is what I should do. Okay, so emotionalism is 100% doing everything out of your feelings. Another extreme is the opposite of that. You could call it stoicism, where feelings have no importance. They must be suppressed. They're immature. They're wrong. The only thing that matters is my intellect and my reasoning and my spreadsheet. The only thing that matters is my logic. And people, even Christians, can make intellect and logic their idol and make doctrine their God and look down on those who exhibit any emotion. So those are two extremes. We need to live somewhere in between those. But I want to make it very clear. We don't need to live exactly in the middle of those. God has made us, some people are more emotional. Some people are more logical. There's nothing wrong with people being different. Everyone doesn't need to be exactly in the middle. It's just when you're 100% all my feelings or 100% logic where I think we go wrong. We need people who are expressive and who have emotion a little, and we need people who are smart and, wait, that makes it sound. We need people who have, who are, oh yes, okay. We need people in both directions. By the way, in the Bible, the intellect is often called the mind, and emotions are often called the heart, or even the soul, or even in the book of, I think it's the book of, no, 1 John, the book of 1 John in the King James Version is called bowels. Bowels. And so it's that emotion that we feel. In fact, 1 John tells us to have emotion. In fact, he says, as I recall, he says, whoever sees someone in need and does not have bowels of mercy, he does not love God. That's 1 John. So, we need people in all spectrums. So today we're going to look at managing our emotions. Last week we talked about managing our thought life. Have you thought about that we need to manage our emotions and our feelings so that they serve us and not the other way around? We're going to learn that there are both positive and negative emotions. And we're going to talk about how to deal with destructive feelings. So in our text, it says, we love God and we serve God with all of us, including our mind and our heart and our emotions. So here's why we need to learn to manage our feelings. We need to learn to manage our feelings first, because my feelings can be or might be unreliable. Just like I told you last week, don't believe every thought that comes to your head. So also, we can't necessarily believe everything we feel. Not everything we feel is right or represents reality. It can turn out to be wrong. So it's important to understand and manage our feelings. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. So it may seem right in your heart, but in the end, it could lead to death. So our emotions, while important, are not infallible. They can be wrong and guide us in the wrong direction. That's why when we try to learn the will of God, there are three or four signposts that include the Word of God, not just our emotions. So why? Because my feelings can be unreliable. The second reason we need to learn to manage our emotions is it's possible that my feelings could manipulate me. Salesmen and advertisers, they're trained to stir up our emotions and get us hooked emotionally to buy their product. They do it through color and packaging and advertising and music. And impulse buying can be based on emotions. Have you ever done that? I got that feeling. I'll be honest with you. When I get that feeling when I'm on Amazon. Or smile.amazon.com, giving part of your purchase to Crosspoint Community Church. when I'm on there, I get this feeling right here of exhilaration when I order something. And it says, it will be there in 2 days. And then I get this text or it's an email that says, item has been delivered. And we can make impulse purchases that way. So we've got to be careful. We have to manage our feelings and keep them in check. Proverbs 25:28 says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Without a check on your feelings, you have no moderator, no manager, like a city with no defenses. In the New American Bible, it translates it like this. Like an open city with no defenses is the man with no check on his feelings. Proverbs 25, verse 28. So we need to have a check on our feelings so they don't manipulate us. Negative emotions can be especially damaging if they're not recognized and dealt with. Our enemy, the devil, uses negative emotions to manipulate us and get us to act wrongly. Our enemy uses resentment and jealousy to try to control us. Bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip to turn us against people we're supposed to love. If you don't manage your emotions, if I don't manage my emotions, we're helpless against Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled or sober and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The Bible tells us to control ourselves and be careful and make sure the Lord has control over our emotions and not the devil. And then finally, we manage our emotions because we want to please God. If we allow our emotions and our feelings to 100% control us instead of God's Spirit, what do we make our emotions? We make them an idol. And they become the god or idol that controls our lives. So God can't rule in my life if I allow only my feelings to rule. Jesus can't be Lord if my feelings are my Lord. Listen to Romans 8, verse 6. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit brings life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. So if we want to please God, we have to make sure we're not obeying only our human nature and only our fallen feelings. When we give our lives to God, we give Him our all, including our feelings and our emotions and our affections. We want God to transform our emotions. It's good and right to have emotions and feelings, but we want God to transform them, to renew them, just like He's renewing our mind and our spiritual life and our physical life. Okay? Finally, how can we manage a negative or destructive or unwanted feeling? All of us have them at times, right? Unwanted feelings, destructive feelings. Some people have them more than others. Hatred, vengeful anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, resentment. These are feelings we have, but they can be destructive. They can be damaging to our relationships, which we're going to talk about later, in another day. How can we manage negative feelings? Well, first of all, you've got to identify it. You've got to name it. You've got to recognize it. You can only change or manage what you know that you have identified. You can only change or manage something you have identified. How are you feeling? What are you feeling? It requires some introspection. It requires some examining of ourselves through the help of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you come home and you snap at your husband or your wife or a family member. And you don't, for no apparent reason. Or you plop down and mope and refuse to talk. What is the feeling or emotion behind that behavior? It's one thing to come in and say, you know, I'm irritated. Leave me alone. It's another thing to say, I got yelled at work, and so I'm angry. So what we're doing at home or what we're doing to someone else, may, the root of that may be anger at something that happened earlier in the day, or maybe resentment. Or you may have seen someone driving a car that you covet, and you realize you'll never make enough money to afford that. And so you're jealous or you're envious. But then that translates itself into bad behavior. You need to realize, well, this is the reason I'm acting like this, because I'm envious. Friday night at our group, we were talking about retirement. We were talking about, you know, how if you're young, you can start saving now and like have millions of dollars when you're 65, you know, and I had to fight an emotion because I chose, or God led me into a profession, into a ministry, into a calling that doesn't pay, you know, mega bucks like maybe I would want. It's just the way it is. It's been that way from the very beginning. And everything's fine. We're living, and that's great. But retirement? Millions of dollars? Not going to happen. And so, says George, who just had his last day, right? Friday night. He's now retired. And you're going to live off the millions of dollars you have accumulated over time. Social Security. But, you know, I did well because I began to be envious of those who were, I graduated with out of high school and college, who have gone on and I know they have millions of dollars. You can accumulate in the millions if you start in your 20s and you regularly, you can. And so I started to feel that envy, but then I was able through, it didn't grow, and I was able to control that emotion. And I was able to say, you know, this is what God has guided me to. This, I am exactly where I should be. If I could be somewhere else and have millions of dollars, but I would not be where God wanted me to be. And so it's so much better to be in the center of God's will. And that gave me comfort and peace, and I'm not envious. So I know God will provide. I know everything will be fine. And so the first point is you need to recognize why you feel the way you do. It may be a root feeling of envy or something else. So instead of complaining or criticizing a person, you might want to recognize, for example, your resentment of that person. Before you complain or yell or gossip or criticize someone, you might want to understand that you may have feelings of jealousy toward that person. Okay, so name it. Secondly, challenge it. Before you act on a negative feeling, challenge it. Don't automatically accept what you're feeling or assume it's correct. Challenge it. Am I right to be angry? Psalm 26, verse 2 says, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." Challenge it. Test it. Examine it. Ask God to help you evaluate what you're feeling. It's sort of a cliche. Get in touch with your feelings. Find out why you're feeling that way. And I may also offer this. Ask a friend, a close friend, to help you understand how you're feeling. This helps me a lot. I have friends that I can go to and say, you know, here's how I feel. And they are able to be an objective listener, and they are able to help me challenge that feeling to whether it's right or not. Godly friends can really help you to say, are you sure about that? Are you thinking correctly about that? Someone who's a spiritual partner. Is this feeling helping me or hurting me? So name it, challenge it, and finally, tame it. Or channel it. If you have an unwanted feeling or a destructive emotion. You do need to change it, or you may want to channel it. Some emotions are so damaging. Some feelings are so hurtful, not to mention ineffective, that the only thing you can and should do is to change that emotion to be in line with what the Lord would want. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." How would Jesus act in this same situation? Would Jesus act out of pride or jealousy or bitterness or rage? If not, you need to drop that emotion. You need to tame it. Or you can take a negative emotion and channel it. Use it for the kingdom. Use it for good. Let me give you an example. Say you see an instance of injustice, or you yourself were a victim of injustice or hurt. Of course, you're angry, and rightly so. But will anger alone help in the long run? Just being angry about an injustice? No, it won't. So channel it into action to help others so they don't experience the same injustice or hurt. I know a couple. Oh, I was going to have a picture. I got this picture of their kids. Oh, well. I know a couple that they got married, and I sort of helped get them together, and they got married. But then it turned out they were not able to have children. And if you've been through that, if you understand, it's very hard to take. And it's very easy in such a situation to develop bitterness, even anger against God, and envy against others who are able to have children. But this friend and his wife took that feeling, they channeled that disappointment, and they realized there are millions of people in the world that need love. There are millions of orphans and unwanted children. So they so far have adopted 4 children from all over the world. And they channeled, instead of being angry about it, have made the lives of 4 young people, and I'm not sure they're done yet, so much better, and minister to them. You can take pain in your life and use it for good. And in this same vein, as far as taming our feelings, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because it takes more, like Sharon said, it takes more than just willpower to change or channel our destructive feelings. It really takes ultimately the filling of the Holy Spirit and exhibiting the gifts of the Spirit, which are the opposite of our negative emotions. Galatians chapter 5, when the Holy Spirit controls your life, you will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, namely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all things that we can channel our emotions to, and the Holy Spirit can help us. A whole other message about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So there, I hope that helps with understanding our emotions and our feelings. I hope you come away from this understanding it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to have feelings. I'm not super emotional, but I do get emotional sometimes. I cry at movies and things like that. But when I see people who are emotionally involved in worship, it makes my heart glad. And no one should ever denigrate another person or criticize a person for being more or less emotional than you are. God has made us that way. All right? In our small groups this week, which, by the way, there's one tonight at 6 p.m. right here, we'll be talking about healing damaged emotions. Maybe you have feelings that you've had for years and years. We're going to talk about how to heal damaged emotions and what that entails. So be prepared for that. The Holy Spirit is so much better at helping us be filled with Himself than anger, than worry, than fear, than guilt, than shame. And He can calm our heart and our soul like nothing else. And He can give us peace.